Okay, so Katie says, does that pretty well sum it up?
That's what a lot of people think. I mean, some after the
so after she says this, Katie says, does that pretty well sum it up? And the audience bursts into laughter, and Mary laughs along with them. By the sound of her, the laughter, it seems as though you speak for a lot of people in this room. So let's start at the top and see if we can begin to understand what's going on. So Mary says, I hate my husband because he drives me crazy. Everything about him, including the way he breathes. And Katie says, your husband drives you crazy? Is it true? Yes. Okay. What's an example of that, sweetheart? He breathes? Mary says, he breathes. When we're doing conference calls for our business, I can hear his breath on the other end of the telephone and I want to scream. So Katie says, so his breath drives you crazy? Is that true? Yes. Can you absolutely know that's true? Yes. Well, we can all relate to that. I hear this is really true for you. In my experience, it can't be your husband's breath that's driving you crazy. It has to be your thoughts about his breath that are driving you crazy. So let's take a closer look and see if that's true. What are your thoughts about his breath on the phone? Well, that he should be more aware that he's breathing loudly during a conference call. Katie says, well, how do you react when you think that thought? That's the third one. Well, I feel like I want to kill him. So she says, so what's more painful, the thought you attach to his breathing or his breathing? Well, the breathing is more painful. I'm comfortable with the thought I want to kill him. Mary laughs, so does the audience. Okay, you can keep that thought. That's a beautiful thing about the work. We can keep all our thoughts. Mary says, well, I've never done the work before, so I don't know what the right answers are. And Katie says, your answers are perfect, sweetheart. Don't rehearse. So he's breathing on the phone, and you have the thought that he should be more aware, and he's not. What's the next thought? Well, it brings up every terrible thought I have about him. Okay, he's still breathing. So he should stop breathing into the phone on the conference call. What's the reality of it? Does he? No, I've told him to stop, and he still does it. That's the reality. What's true is always what's happening, not the story about what should be happening. He should stop breathing on the phone. Is that true? Well, no, that's not true. He's doing it, so that's what's true. That's reality. Okay, so how do you react when you think the thought that he should stop breathing on the phone and he doesn't? How do I react? I want out. Feels uncomfortable because I know I want out and I know I'm not going anywhere. Okay, so let's move back to inquiry, honey, rather than moving further into your story and your interpretation. Do you really want to know the truth? Yes. Okay, it helps if we stick with one written statement at a time. So, can you see a reason to drop the thought that he should stop breathing on the phone? For those of you new to the work, if you hear that I'm asking Mary to drop her story, let me be clear, I'm not. This is not about getting rid of thoughts and about overcoming or improving or surrendering them. None of that. This is about realizing for yourself internal cause and effect. The question is, can you see a reason to drop this thought? Mary says, yes, I can. It would be a lot more enjoyable to do conference calls without this thought. Okay, that's a good reason. Can you find a stress-free reason to keep the thought or this lie that he should stop breathing on the phone? No. Who would you be without the thought? That's the fourth question. Who would you be while you're on a conference call with your husband if you didn't have the ability to think that thought? Mary, I'd be much happier. I'd be more powerful. I wouldn't be distracted. Katie, yes, sweetheart, that's it. It's not his breathing that's causing your problem. It's your thoughts about his breathing because you haven't investigated him to see if they oppose reality. Let's look at your next statement. So she says, well, I don't love him anymore. Is that true? Yes. Okay, good. I hear that. Do you really want to know the truth? Yes. Okay, be still. There's no right or wrong answer. You don't love him. Is that true? And Mary's silent. If you had to answer honestly, either yes or no, right now, if you had to live forever with this answer, your truth or your lie, what would your answer be? You don't love him. Is that true? There's a long pause. She begins to cry. No, it's not true. Okay, that's a very courageous answer. If we answer it that way, with what's really true for ourselves, we think that there may be no way out. Is it true? It's just a question. We're terrified to answer the simplest question honestly because we project that they may, what that might mean in an imagined future. We think we have to do something about it, How do you react when you believe the thought that you don't love him? Makes my whole life a stupid charade. Can you see a reason to drop this thought that you don't love him? And I'm not asking you to drop the thought. Yes, I can see a reason to drop it. Can you think of one stress-free reason to keep the thought? After a long pause, I think if I keep my story, then I can keep him from wanting to have sex all the time. Katie says, is that a stress-free reason? It seems kind of stressful to me. She says, yeah, I guess it is. Okay, can you find one stress-free reason to keep that thought that you don't love him? Oh, I see. No, there aren't any stress-free reasons to keep that story. Okay, fascinating. Who would you be standing with your husband without the thought that you don't love him? It would be great. It would be fabulous. That's what I want. Okay, I'm hearing that with the thought it's stressful and that without the thought it's fabulous. So, what does your husband have to do with your unhappiness? And we're just noticing here. So, I don't love my husband. Turn it around. I do love my husband. Okay, feel it. It has nothing to do with him, does it? No, it really doesn't. I do love my husband, and you're right. It doesn't have anything to do with him. And sometimes you think you hate him, and that doesn't have anything to do with him either. The man's just breathing. You tell the story that you love him, or you tell the story that you hate him. It doesn't take two people to have a happy marriage. It only takes one, you. There's another turnaround. Okay, I don't love myself. I can relate to that one. And you may think that if you divorce him, then you'll feel good. But if you haven't investigated your thinking, you'll attach these same concepts to whatever comes on to your life next. We don't attach to people or things. We attach to uninvestigated concepts that we believe to be true in the moment. Okay, let's look at your next statement. I want my husband not to be needy, not to be dependent on me, to be more successful, to not want to have sex with me, to get in shape, to get a life outside of me, be more powerful. Those are just a few. Okay, let's turn that whole statement around. I want me not to be needy. I want me not to be dependent on him. I want me to be more successful. I want me to not want to have sex with him. I want me to get into shape. I want me to get a life outside of him and the kids. I want me to be more powerful. So, Katie says, he shouldn't be needy. Is that true? What's the reality? Is he? Yeah, he's needy. She says, well, okay, he shouldn't be needy is a lie, right? Because the guy is needy. So, how do you react when you think the thought, he shouldn't be needy? And in your reality, is he needy? Well, I just want to run away all the time. Okay, who would you be in his presence without the thought he shouldn't be needy? What I just understood is that I could be with him in a space of love instead of having just my defenses up. It's like I would notice a bit of neediness, and I'm out of here and I've got to run. That's what I do with my life. Okay, well, when he's acting needy in your opinion, you don't say no, honestly. You run away, you want to run away instead of being honest with yourself and with him. That's true. Okay, well, it would have to be. You have to call him needy until you get some clarity and honest communication going with yourself. So let's be clear. You be him and be very needy and all take the role of clarity. So sometimes they play roles reversals. Okay, so Mary, Mr. Needy comes in and says, I just had the best phone call. You've just got to hear about it. It was this guy and he's going to be fabulous in the business. And I had another call. You know, he just goes on and on. And meanwhile, I'm busy. I have a deadline. And so Katie, playing the other person's role, sweetheart, I hear that you had a wonderful phone call, and I love that. And I would also like you to leave the room now. I have a deadline to meet. Well, we have to talk about our plans. When are we going to go to Hawaii? We've got to figure out about the airlines. I hear that you want to talk about our plans for Hawaii, so let's just discuss that at dinner tonight. I really want to leave the room now. I have a deadline to meet. Well, if one of your girlfriends called, you'd talk to her for an hour. Now, you can't listen to me for 2 minutes. You could be right, and I want you to leave the room now. It may sound cold, but it's not. I have a deadline. So Mary admits, well, I don't do it like that. Usually I'm mean, and I just seethe. And then Katie says, you have to be mean because you're afraid to tell the truth and say no. You don't say, sweetheart, I would like you to leave. I have a deadline, because you want something from him. What scam are you running on yourself and on him? What do you want from him? She says, well, I'm never straightforward with anybody. Katie says, because you want something from us. What is it? Well, I can't stand it when somebody doesn't like me. I don't want disharmony. So you want our approval. Yes, and I want to maintain harmony. Sweetheart, if your husband approves of what you say and what you do, then there's harmony in the house. Is that true? Does that work? Is there harmony in your house? No. You trade your integrity for harmony in the house. It doesn't work. Spare yourself from seeking love, approval, appreciation from anyone. And watch what happens in reality just for fun. Read your statement again. I want my husband not to be needy. All right, turn it around. I want me not to be needy. Yes. You need all this harmony. You need his approval. You need his breathing to change. You need his sexuality to change for you. Who's the needy one? Who's dependent on whom? Let's turn the whole list around. I want myself not to be needy, not to be dependent, etc. On your husband, perhaps? I want myself to be more successful. I want to not have to have sex with me. That one could be really legitimate if you sit with it. How many times do you tell the story of how he has sex with you and you hate it? Constantly. Yes, you're having sex with your in your mind and thinking how terrible it is. And you tell the story over and over what it's like having sex with your husband. And that story is what's repelling you, not your husband. Sex without a story has never repelled anybody. It just is what it is. You're having sex or you're not. It's our thoughts about sex that repel us. Write that one out too, honey. You could write a whole worksheet on your husband and sexuality. And she goes, yeah, I get that. So she says, okay, turn the next statement around. I want me to get into shape. But I am in shape. Oh, really? How about mentally? Well, I could work on that. Are you doing the best you can? Yes. Well, maybe he is too. He's supposed to get in shape. Is that true? No, he's not in shape. How do you react when you believe the thought that he should be in shape and he's not? How do you treat him? What do you say? What do you do? Oh, everything's subtle. I show him my muscles. I don't ever look at him with approval. I don't admire him. I don't ever do anything kind in that direction. Okay, close your eyes. Now look at yourself looking at him that way. Now look at his face. There's a pause and Mary sighs. Keep your eyes closed. Look at him again. Who would you be standing there with him without the thought that he should be in shape? I would look at him and see how handsome he is. Yes, Angel, and you'd see how much you love him. Isn't that fascinating? This is very exciting. So let's just be there a minute. Look at him, how you treat him, and he still wants to go to Hawaii with you. That's amazing. She says, what's amazing about this guy is that I'm so horrible and mean, and he loves me without condition. It just drives me nuts. He drives you nuts? Is that true? No, so far it's been my thinking that drives me nuts. Okay, so let's go back. He should get in shape and turn it around. I should get in shape. I should get my thinking in shape. Yes, every time you look at him and are repulsed, get your thinking in shape. Judge your husband, write it down, ask four questions, turn it around. But only if you're tired of the pain. So that was an actual thing. She's got some great ones that you can download from her site. And I'm going to end, right on time.
Is that an excerpt from one of her books?
Yes. Uh-huh. But you can see actual video if you want to see it off her website. But this is from one of her books. One of her books has almost the whole book is these examples of various things that she discusses as principles.
This is reality therapy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Glasser, Michael Glasser.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Here's my final quote, and I'm going to end with the I Ching, a quote from the I Ching. Anybody familiar with that? It's only when we have the courage to face things exactly as they are, without any self-deception or illusion, that a light will develop out of events by which the path to success may be recognized.